See what looks as though it's happening, and they try to replicate it, but the grace is not available. The power of vision. In an acaso, we have a vision we are running with. We are not haphazard. We are not confused. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? From the moment you walk in here, you will see our vision statement. We are not confused. We know exactly where we are headed to. Well, why we do the things we are doing. Vision is the unfolding of God's plan for your life as you progress. The power of vision. Say with me, vision. So, as a minister, one of the things that you must run ministry with, you must be aware that this thing called ministry that I'm doing is an assignment, and it is sponsored and given by God as a vision. Isn't it amazing? Many people sit down, wake up from their slumber, from their dream, and say, Kai, if that man is doing it, I can do it better. Yeah? Are you hearing me? They just see somebody they knew from childhood. So this one can do this. Me, I can do better. It is not vision. Are you hearing me? If you look through scripture, everyone that we talked of in scriptures, they lived a life, a visionary life. Paul the apostle was Saul. We knew his life. We knew what his life was all about. But when he called an heavenly vision, his assignment changed in the same direction. He was passionate about killing people. Am I communicating? The same passion. God saw a passionate soul in Adair. And God still has a way of you. That was why it was an open vision, helping us realize that vision can be given from God and by God. Are you hearing me, God's people? Oh my. Fine. How to assess vision? Quick. Let me just marry some things. Ask God. Number one, ask God. Say me, ask God. You can ask God, what is my assignment in life? I don't want to be doing trial and error. What is this am I born for? Why in the world am I come? What is my mandate? What then am I living for? Ask God. Ask. The Bible said, ask. Call upon me. I will answer you. I will show you. Ask. If you don't ask, if you don't call, you may as well be running on assumption. And it was a wise man that said, assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. Anything you assume that you have not gotten the full scope of knowledge, I can tell you the truth, the end result will be total disappointment. Assumptions. May you not run in assumptions. That is why many a times you see people struggling. They didn't ask. They thought it was God's will. They thought they were meant for this. Assumptions. How to assess vision? I said, number two, have a strong desire. A burning desire. A desire. God's servant began to touch something deep. It's what is within you that God can see and affect external things. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man?" No. A man having desire and separated himself and intermingled with all wisdom. Proverbs. Scripture. Studio, help me locate that scripture. A man having separated himself and intermingled with all wisdom. Can you see that? Therefore, through desire, tell me desire. In the place of burning desire, so many things can be obtained. Desire is so powerful that you can sit down in your inside. As long as God is in the picture, you can assess visions through desires. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Next. Number three, be meek. Say meekness. What does it mean to be meek? To be submissive, easily correctable. Many people are not meek. That is why they can't assess vision. Pride will kill them. Their shoulder is taller, it's higher than their head. I know it all. You can't correct them. You try to correct them, even in love, they have a defensive mechanism. They don't want to be, there are people I've met them, you can't correct them. You try to correct them, they will end up advising you.
You know yourself. You know what I'm saying. Am I communicating? You can't correct them. No meekness.
Some people feel to be corrected, their ego has been reduced. It is in the place of meekness that God exalts a man. Meekness. May meekness come upon us. That is why we have too many arrogant people everywhere. Arrogancy. And they tell you it is the Spirit of God. I tell you the truth. They tell you this one is the Holy Ghost. They don't even, do you know, a proud man don't even know he's proud. He thinks he knows it all. He thinks he's better than everybody. He thinks it's only his opinion that is the best. If you are in that shoe, repent tonight. Because that will be the beginning of your undoing. Do you know you can rise high? If you are not a meek person, it will pull you down. Meekness. No matter who you are. Even Lucifer, you can see what brought him down. That is discussion for another day. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Sustaining vision. What does it mean to sustain vision? It is one thing to assess vision. It takes another thing for sustainability of vision. So you can assess a vision, but you need a sustenance for the vision to profit you, to bring about exploit. Number one, what does it take to sustain vision? Contentment. Say me contentment. Say me contentment. This is placing yourself where God has positioned you, no matter the prevailing circumstance. Contentment. You must learn to be content. Wherever you are today, in that God-given assignment, be contented and trust God for your higher height. When you have learned contentment, that is why the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness. Then add contentment to it. He said it's gain. You have gained it. So godliness minus contentment equal to zero. Contentment. You don't want to know the story of an Akazo, where we started and where we are. Are you following me, God's people? Are you following me, God's people? If you try to... It was on Friday, God's servant made a code by one of the great men he talked about. When you try to jump, you will come down. No matter how, be the highest, the faster jumper. Jump. There is a law that must resist you. But if you climb, you will grow. Learn to remain where God has kept you while you prepare for where you are headed to. Number two, consistency. Consistency. Be steady in your calling. No man fulfills vision automatically. Be steady in the assignment God has delivered in your hand. Consistency. One thing I've known of God's servant through the years is a man that has sustained consistency. I can tell you without missing word. Consistency. Most times when we share things, you will say this. And I say, okay, let's go ahead. No pressure. No heart attack. We are headed by season pattern. Consistency. It is consistency that has brought us as an Akazo where we are today, sir. I can assure you. No pressures. No tension. Consistency. Per season pattern. Consistency. May that grace come upon somebody tonight. Consistency. It takes a level of consistency to fulfill and accomplish visions. Consistency. Fundamentals of your visions. Let me run through this because of time. Gosh. You must know your location. Say me location. Location matters in visions. Not every place. Vision. Vision can be born in a place, but not necessarily means it can be accomplished in everywhere. Location matters. Location matters. That is why you must be sensitive to know where is God headed to. Where is God leading me to? Locations. So everybody is running to Lagos. They say, Kai, Lagos is the most populated place in Nigeria. Let's go. You can go there. God did not send you. You will pack your bag and run. I don't want to talk, but God's servant knows this one. I will just talk about. There was once upon a time, a dear one came and met us and entered the town.
and came to us and said, "Where are the biggest ministry in Kaduna? We have come to take over." Okay? So what are the people doing? He said, he has come to take over the city. He will move from one church to another, from one place. This one, you just go and sit down and be rating the graces in the place. No, they have not seen anything. We have come to take over the town. You see, that mentality is sponsored by devilish thoughts. Thinking you are the best out of everybody. No competitions. We are all advancing the purposes of the kingdom. So you see, the arrival was wrongly initiated. What brought him to town is a wrong mission. Maybe it's good that he came, but how he went about it, so arrogantly, at that time, he will come to an account and look at us. We are harmful that time. So even us, we are boys. That is why he's asking, where is the main place? An account, you see our worship team then? That was how we were then. Then he will come. He will sit down and look at us. You know, brought us by. Where is happening? Okay? Can I tell you, precious people of God, he's not in town now. That is why I say you will run out of town. Zeal without knowledge. Location. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Number two, timing. Know your timing. Timing, oh my. You see, while he was sharing something, it was almost as though we just opened our note and we are interacted before we entered the meeting. And in all honesty, we didn't do that. We were all together throughout the day talking so many things. We never had time to say, Abba Alpha. So what is the content? You know, he talked about time. How that if you miss out of a carrier season of your appearing, it will take another cycle of calendar to execute the assignment and the mandate of your life. Timing matters. So it may be timing. There is need for urgency in your spirit. At some point, you should be restless. Don't be too comfortable where you are. There will be a time this place cannot do us. In fact, it's not even doing us now. Are you aware of this? Are you aware of this? A season will come that truly you will know you needed to shift. You have tarried. You have waited too long in this place. There is need for a shift. Timing matters. Jump when you need to jump. Don't sit down there in complacency, in laziness, in observing and feeling. You know, in this timing, it can be in two sides. Some people, they say they are watching. They say, let everybody give his best shot. So that we'll launch out in the final. They will never launch out. Procrastinator is the steal of time. You are talking about the future. You will never initiate the step with one moment. You will see what we will do. You want to see. You that is out there. Anytime you meet them, so bro, how far? You will see it. That was 2 years ago. How is it? I am preparing something. You will see it. Those people, they will end up never touching any aspect of the mandate of God for their life as touching visions. May God give you understanding. All right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Are you blessed tonight? Thank you, Holy Ghost. And as we begin to round up, very important also, the place of grace. And then know your method. Let me just marry these two and I stop there. Know your method. So you mean know your method. Know your method. You can't be everybody. Know your method. God's servant, daddy, Iadeboye, we stand like this, almost looking casual. And say, Baba said, somebody in that place, go, you have carried your baby. And you hear a loud amen. Somebody that is used to fire, with so much apostolic, you know, you'll be bored. You cannot flow. Even their mode of, their method, the methodology of the assignment. If you are not careful, you almost doubt that this one is a scam. But I have watched them year in, year out, more than 50 years. Baba said, somebody is blessed. Baba said, you have married. Somebody shouted, hallelujah. So casual and so simple. But some of us will come here. Kabalakatata. Pow! You will remove the suit. Hold it, you will see something here. Say with me, know your method. In your place of relationship with God, you will know your method. Rise on your feet. Will you go ahead and appreciate the name of the Lord again? Just be thanking Him. Just be thanking Him. Give Him glory. Come on, somebody, thank Him. Glorify Him. This is why you came tonight.
Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying wherever you are. Lord, help me. Help me discern my moments. Help me discern your motions, your movements. Your strength is in alignment. Your strength is alignment. Your ability to replicate the motions of the immortals. When God moves, you move. When you stay, you stay. If He takes a step and you don't replicate it, you are exposed. I wish you were praying where you are now. Are you praying? Are you praying? The second dose is upon us. Manna from heaven is about to be served. And men must stir their vessel. You must make space. Gather containers, not a few. It is necessary that you create capacity.
Song of songs. I dance, in dance, dance of the ages. I gaze into the eyes of love. I gaze into the eyes of love.
Listen, very quickly, before I bring God's servant up, something happened recently, you know, that the Lord used to remind me of the reason why He declared this solemn assembly. You know, in all honesty, it is not a good thing if you are a center of attention and many things are just orbiting around you, and if you are not around it, it cannot work. It's a big problem, a real challenge. Many generations celebrated that reality because it gives you a false sense of speciality. You think that you are Alpha and Omega, and if you are not careful, with that mind you start fighting God. When God wants to lift others, you will push them down, you will suppress them. You will set systems to make sure no head, no horn will be exalted, only your own. Recently, you're my witness. Two different cities. A city was booking me to come and do a few hours. And they were going to pay my flight back to the other conference in another city. They just want me to come and bounce inside the city, do some hours with them and go back. And I know in my heart of hearts, The flesh will like this thing, but it is a report card. It's a negative report card. Because the truth is, if we continue like this, at the end you will have Superman and you will have a large crowd of helpless followers. You will continue to jump around, and when you are old and gray-headed and your back is bent, you will look back, you will not see your footprints among the nation, because everywhere you visit, you didn't raise your kind. It's only you that is a Superman. When you leave, Satan will obliterate your memory. It's easy for the things you see this Jim thing you come and do. I want to build line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We are going to be master builders. We want to be intentional, the things we lay upon the soul of men, because at the end God will hold us accountable. This is not about you know, gatherings. It's not about sizes of buildings. We want to raise giants, not just monuments. We want a time will come. You will call an usher and say, go on, take the word. I called God's servant, and it will interest you to know, this man just left Kaduna. As at yesterday, he was somewhere in Abuja for a meeting, finishing to come here today again. Some people are very busy and others are idle. In fact, a great percentage are idle. And tonight, this conference is like that point where the master goes out and say, why are you idle? Then they say, no man gave us work. Then he said, join my servants. Go and join them. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Tonight you will lift up your voice and cry, Lord, enlist me. Enlist me. Enlist me. For many of you, you just need this one push. Enlist me. Are you praying? God's servant, or pray one prayer again. Lord, show me the way to the city. Show me the way to the city. Show me the way to the city of my destiny. The labor of the foolish wearieth them all, because they know not the way to the city. Show me the way. I'm Amen. A couple of years ago, I think during my junior secondary school, we went for a camp at Restoration Bible Church, organized at Dambo School, and I cited, they called one young man, because we were all children then, it was children camp, vacation camp, those August camp. And so they called one small guy too, and he came and he sang, and my God, his voice, the spirit that flowed when he sang. So my heart clipped to that young guy. I didn't see him for many years. And the spirit led me to my own path. So I was looking for God. But I saw one young man that time. By the grace of God, this is my delight to tell you that that young man is Caleb David. I told him recently, are you not that guy in that camp? He said yes. My heart was panting. When will I see that guy again? You don't manifest alone. We come in bunch. In the moment where your team are manifesting, if you are left, Jesus. People are waking up. People are going to war. The banner of Jesus is being if we finish fighting this war, and then you now wake up, then when they list the weapons in the great tower of David, your name will not be numbered. Because in the day where God needed men to show up, when he was wrestling with the mighty, you didn't show up. You didn't show up. You were doing your own thing. I wouldn't mind if Kaduna feeds the nation. If fiery men come out of Kaduna, then we spread like nukes into different parts of the world. Some of you won't be in Nigeria for long again, and you know. So why not make the most of these seasons? You know what it means to be done, but cook well. You will not have the time that you have now again. So maximize these things. With Jesus' joy, with the utmost level of expectation, join me as we welcome God's choice servant, God's voice, God's special minister. My brother, my friend, Minister Caleb David, please celebrate him.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. While we're still standing, I want you to help me with a loud ovation honor my brother and friend Apostle. Anakazo, I believe you can shout better. I still think you can shout better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please have your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor John. Thank you so, so much for that powerful session. Hallelujah. Pastor has delivered me from the need to sermonize. Amen. He has delivered me completely. So I'm just going to bear my heart out to you. Is that okay? If that's okay, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We humble our hearts before you in meekness. We come mustering all the meekness we can muster from our hearts. We ask, O God, that your word will impart unto us life in the name of Jesus. Help us, dear one. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Quickly, please turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. While I drove into town on Saturday, certain contemplations began to bubble up in my spirit. And for some reason, I didn't know why, but I sensed that the Lord was releasing those things into my heart in view of this meeting. Hallelujah. And one of the great concerns I had was the grace for utterance to be able to clearly paint the map so that we don't just run out with high and lofty words, but with instructions from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But upon arrival, I found that all of those things had already been, you know how wine is mixed. All of those things had been mixed into a very beautiful piece, mixed into a very beautiful jar, and have been released to us already. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's why I said, Pastor delivered me from the need to sermonize. And so I'll just bear my heart out in a very short while and we'll pray. Are we still together? Say amen if we're still together. Song of Solomon chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Maybe we should read it together. One, two, go. Which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, and we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Let's read the first sentence with a loud voice. One, two, go. Draw me, we will run after thee. Hallelujah. This one says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Hallelujah. So we understand that this book was written by the King Solomon. Are we together? And we know that Solomon was one who was endowed with such depth of wisdom that had not been before his time, and even after his time we have not seen such expressed in the magnitude with which he expressed his wisdom. Hallelujah. And in the course of his journey, while he ruled as king and while he encountered all that he did, there were many things he thought necessary to communicate to the nation Israel. Many things he thought important to pass down even to the generations that would come after him. Hallelujah. And one of the ways in which his words, the wealth of his wisdom, was immortalized was that he uttered proverbs. Amen. He uttered wise sayings. But the scripture also tells us clearly that one of the ways Solomon preserved learnings, the things that he captured, was that he wrote songs. Amen. And the Bible says that there were 3,000 proverbs that he uttered and about 1,500 songs that he wrote. Praise the Lord. But of all those songs that he wrote, he referred to this one as the principal of all songs that he wrote. He called this one the Song of Songs. In fact, do you know any other song Solomon wrote? Amen. So it felt like if I have this one properly documented such that a generation can come after and contemplate the things that are embedded in these writings, I will not need to have them learn the other ones per se. Just that. Hallelujah. So, the Bible tells us that this was a song that Solomon wrote. But if you read through this book, you will discover it was a writing that came from observation. Because there was really not so much about him. He was writing about a maiden and her beloved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The book captures the life of intimacy that should be seen and revealed in marriage. The context here is intimacy such as should be expressed in marriage. Hallelujah. I need to be hearing that amen so I know that I'm not losing you. Thank you so much. All right. Intimacy such as should be expressed in marriage. Hallelujah. And he took so much time to understand what was going on between these two people, these principal actors that he wrote about. Amen. And the reason I believe that he had to do this was because if you understand the life of Solomon and how things went with him, you would discover that even though he was engraced with such depth of wisdom and honor and excellence, that God honored him so much by attaching himself to him with that manifold grace, amen, some things happened along the line that took his heart off course, amen, and that his heart was taken off course. There were setting manifestations that now characterized his reign that were not consistent with what God thought should be the pattern that he would lay down. Okay? And one of such was that he took pleasure in delighting himself, delighting his soul with women. Okay? And a king is not exactly a president. Alright? A king is not a president. And so, when a king says, bring all the women in this city, there's not so much they can do about that beckoning. Is that okay? There's not so much they can do because he summons them by the authority of his kingship. To defy that desire would be to defy his throne, would be automatically declared to be treason. Hallelujah. So, Solomon now became what I would describe to be a dread for anybody who was in love. Because just in case you were betrothed to a sister and you're about to get married, you would want to make sure that Solomon never spots the sister. Because if he happens to spot that sister and anything sparks up, it will be over for you. And the way the sister will preserve your life will be by going with him. Are we together? It was the same thing that Abraham did when that, you know, that he traveled a lot, right? And then he will get to a city, and before he enters, he will tell his wife, he say, I know that you are fair to look upon. Just tell them I'm your brother, because I don't want to get into the battle of contending with a king over your matter. Hallelujah. Now, Solomon beckoned for damsels to be brought for him. Amen. Let's read Kings. It will help us catch it somewhere. Amen. It will help us catch it somewhere. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. While we're turning, Solomon beckoned for whoever he desired to be brought into his chambers. And he did that with the authority of his throne. Okay? But being one who was not exactly trying to lord over them per se, bringing them into his chambers was not good enough for a king in the stature of Solomon. He had to also ensure that he won their hearts. Praise God. Bringing them in alone was not good enough for this man. He wanted them to be brought to him, but wanted for their hearts to be given to him. Not by coercion, but by winning them over. Amen. And the Bible says he was so successful in that venture that he married about 700. There were 700 who gave themselves to him. He won 700. Then there was 300 more that he didn't necessarily need to marry. So it was a total of 1,000 affairs recorded. Please work with me. There's a reason why we're plowing this route, because I need us to pray. Hallelujah. So even though he brought them in, there was also a need to see that their hearts were won. And to do that, Solomon deployed all of the resources at his disposal. And I said earlier, those resources were not just wealth, influence, honor. Those resources were first spiritual. Amen. Are you with me? Solomon did not just give them money first. He deployed all of his weight. And that weight was what he had as a result of the covenant that God had with his father and the covenant that God now enacted with him. So Solomon got into a place where he could wield all of that. That's it. 1 Kings chapter 10. Glory to God. Rastofele dia mahaila bakomai. First Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. Did you see that? Did you see that? Solomon didn't tell her the answers. Are we together? Yes. Solomon told her all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Now, you have seen how he answered the queen, because he had a spiritual endowment that made it that he operated like his father David. There was not anything hid from the king. So he had such mighty powers of revelation. And when the woman came to him to prove him with hard questions, he said, sit down. See why you came. Now, you know, if you can tell the question, then it means the answer is not far. Let's read on. Verse 3. Solomon told her all the questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, please watch this, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. This was the effect. He said there was no more spirit in her. Hey. Now, I'm trying to help you see. This was not a person Solomon desired. This one came to challenge his stature, to challenge his person. Then, what the way he collided with her, there was no spirit in her. Let's see what happened. This queen that came to challenge now began to prophesy. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard of my own land, of thy acts and of thy wisdom." He said, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard." See prophecy now. He said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee." So she's now trying to explain how he got what he got. So Solomon collided with her. She entered into the stream and knew that it was God that delighted in you to make you like this. You are an expression of God's delight. Amen. And she gave... Oh, let's read verse 9. "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever." How did she know? "The Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Let's read on real quickly. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold of Ophir brought in the Ophir great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And the king made the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord, for the king's house harps and past trees for singers. There came no such almond trees nor were seen unto this day. Hallelujah. I think we should just jump this. Verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Verse 24. And all the earth, say all the earth. All the earth sought to Solomon just to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. Amen. So, now, if somebody comes to challenge him, and by that collision, there's no more spirit in her, what do you think will be the effect of the one whose heart he now seeks to woo? Do you understand? What do you think will be the effect of the one who, this one now says, I want to get this damsel for myself? What do you think will be the effect? Hallelujah. So, he brought in these people and deployed all the resources that were at his disposal to see that their hearts were captured. And I hope you know this was madness. Right? This was madness. But let me say this. When God ordains you for a purpose, there is a unique wiring with which you are crafted for that purpose. When you receive an impartation, more than just a spiritual substance coming into your vessel, what happens is that that substance alters your frame. Amen. So that you now become one that should contain it organically. Praise God. Now, the only safety in that design is that it must be operated with your heart synced to the one who formed you. So if God releases something into you, God is expecting that you will forever stay joined to him. Because that thing he released into you has capacities that cannot be exhausted in time. Amen. Amen. Has powers that you will keep entering into new measures. But the new measures finding expression, they all entered you when the first dose came. Do you understand? But where that now becomes a problem is in the day where your heart is now taken out of where it should be, where there's a disconnect that happens between you and the God that made you. All of that capacity that you hold in him can now be deployed by the devil. All of the capacities, all of the things that happened to you to make you a proper host for that dimension now becomes resource for the one that your heart is now attached to. I'm just trying to explain why there were that many damsels. Is that okay? Is that okay? So, Solomon had so many around him. So many. And unfortunately, this damsel was one of them. Hallelujah. But every time he contemplated this damsel, he could not understand why everything he did failed on this one. Because he would come to her and you would see her expressing all sorts of desires, deep passions for the one that she was betrothed to, for the one that she had given her heart to. And she would come to her expecting to see that, okay, being that she has been here so long, maybe she has started to like palace life. You know, she started to receive. Maybe I'm not so much of a bad idea anymore. And you will come to her and you see her saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And she will be so deep in her meditations that it would sponsor her into an encounter. She will begin by saying, let him. The next thing she sees is, I'm right before him. And she says, for thy love is better than wine. Everything that Solomon had as his advantage, she described it to be wine. But she said, this wine is not strong enough to get me drunk because I'm already high on something else.
He says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than mine. I believe that God allowed for her to be one of them because God needed to re-instruct him back into the original pathway. So God allowed for him to capture one that he could not conquer. That all of his wisdom, all of his wealth, all of his excellence, all of his glamour, her heart could not be persuaded in any way. Because that one had given herself wholly to a shepherd boy. He didn't have so much. He was ruddy. He didn't have so much. But there was something that had been furnished on her heart for that one that the king in the stature of this one could do nothing about. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't know about the king's wine? Okay, I'm sure you remember. You remember what happened with David? How that the Bible says that there was a time when kings go to war, but David stayed at home and didn't go to war. Right? And then the episode happened with Uriah's wife. Right? And in his way to solve the matter, he now called his general back home. He said, come. Come home. Then he now began to ask him. He said, how's the war going? He said, the war is good. How's Joab? Joab is fine. He now says, oh yeah, go home. Go home. Go and rest. Amen. And the Bible says that he went and laid with the servant and didn't go home. And when David heard it, David said, why did you came from a far place? Why didn't you go home to rest? And Uriah said, the ark of God. Uriah began to declare that his disposition to warfare in a time of warfare was an expression of his commitment to God. He says, the ark of God, the ark of Israel and Judah, abided in tents. He said, my Lord Joab and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house and to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? When he declared this, hear me, what he declared was the various layers of his commitment to his assignment. First, the ark of the Lord, my Lord Joab, the brethren with whom I war, they are in the fields, I cannot be at home. Do you understand? When he declared all of those layers, the king says, I know something that can undo this commitment. The Bible says, Solomon, let's get to the next verse. David called him and said, come to the king's table. And he gave him meat and gave him wine. Because he knows that no matter your commitment, if it is wine that comes with the influence of a king, once you have partaken of it, I can send you into where I need you to go to. Hallelujah. This was the same technology that the king sought to deploy with the four Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. The Bible says that when those boys were captured, how he sought to disciple them and compromise their frame was to give them the king's meat and the king's wine. And those men knew that, if we partake of this thing, we will still be anointed. We will still be choice men. We will still carry the graces that we came here with, but something else will be using it. We will still be able to do mighty wonders with the things God sent us here with. But because we have taken of a kind of wine that we must not partake of, we will become his servants. We will become expressions of, you know, they were kept with a eunuch. How the king wanted to make them eunuchs in his own description was just by giving them wine and meat. So David brought Uriah back and said, this is your commitment. I know what can handle it. And David gave him the king's wine. But alas, this man was drunk with something deeper than what David could give in that day. Because even in his drunken state, this man went back and stayed with his servants. And David knew that if this man can drink this wine and not succumb to its influence, there's nothing I can do about him. If this man can partake of the things I just gave him, and he will not still yield to the desires in my own heart, there's nothing I can do about him. My friends, I'm trying to describe to you what influence is. Influence is the ability to serve wine to a generation. A lot of us mistake influence for visibility. It's not necessarily the same. A man may be visible and popular, but not necessarily influential. True influence is the ability to give something to a generation and make them comply with the desires of your heart without coercion. True influence is what we saw being displayed when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he said, "Shall I do a thing without telling my friend?" Then he went to Abraham, and Abraham began to legislate and manipulate the councils, manipulate the figures until a desired result was attained. Now, a man was not in Sodom, neither was he popular in Gomorrah, but he stood in his own conclave and was making decisions and uttering what should be the outcome of spiritual traffic over them. That's the influencer. That's influence. It was not said that the man was, if you check what is trending on Twitter in Sodom, it's Abraham. No. He was not exactly trendy, but in the spirit, his voice was like the governing factor that could determine the outcome of meetings happened in heaven. God was already moving to go and deploy it. A man said, "God, what if? Or maybe you've read it in the book of Matthew, how that the Bible says that Jesus was born, and when the king heard it, the Bible says, and Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Can we find the scripture? The scripture says, when Herod heard that a king had been born, the Bible says Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with what? Say with him. So the reason why Jerusalem, that should be rejoicing that their king was now born, could not rejoice but be troubled, was because there was a king who had influence in Jerusalem. So if he was troubled, Jerusalem would be troubled. Just in case the king heard that that king that we've been waiting for has now been born, and through a party, the outcome would have been different. That all Jerusalem rejoiced that he was born. That's influence, my friends. My friends, influence is costly. Visibility is cheap. Visibility can be bought with money. Influence, you must arise into a place of trust. Because they know once we put this thing on this man, anything that rests on your heart is served out to a generation as wine. Hallelujah. But then this maiden began to speak, and she said that even though I have been summoned into the chambers of the king, I've tasted of something stronger than what the king has. He says, "For thy love is better than wine." There's no amount of wooing this king can deploy against my heart. I'm drunk with something stronger than the king has. Hallelujah. Do you know what she was desiring when she said, "I long for contact with his mouth"? Do you know what she was desiring? Jesus, in his temptation, when the tempter came to him in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus spoke and said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Then he said that this matter I speak about will not be articulated just that you have apprehended the word. More than just apprehending the word, the counsel, you must also apprehend his face close enough to make contact with his mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if life is what you want to do business with, you must lay aside the third parties that now stand as proxies between you and God. You must be willing to hunger and press beyond just... There's a time you will get to, my friends, when you will get tired of saying, man of God, what is God saying? There's a time you will get to. And every man of God who loves you is hoping you get there quick. Yes, because his job is to see that you are brought close enough with your lover that you can pick words from his mouth. Unfortunately, this was the place of intimacy that Israel refused to come into. When they said to Moses, you go up the mountain and let God speak to you. Let him not talk to us lest we die. So what they did was to adopt a posture that, Moses, you be the one who bring us the word of God. Let us receive what God says from your mouth and we will do what he wants us to do. Unfortunately, the ability to obey God comes from interface with him. If you've not interfaced with him in what you called the word you heard, you will find yourself struggling. So when God speaks to you, what he's trying to do is impart his nature, his person into your spirit. It was Ezra that said, the Lord said to me, son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak unto you. And he said, as he spoke, the spirit entered into me and stood me up on my feet. In other words, if Ezra took and received the word of God without interface to be able to draw from the spirit that should proceed by that utterance, he would have heard the word, but not have met the word. Jesus said, the words that I speak, the spirit and their life. So if you have not interfaced spirit and life, maybe you have not met him yet. Are we together? And so she stood and she said, I am in this place, but I bear witness to the truth that there is a surge of life that I can receive by interfacing with my lover. And once that surge of life comes, my problem will be solved. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Then she says, because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love you. Verse 4, she says, draw me. Amen. Say that with me. Want to go? Draw me and we will run after thee. Say that again. Want to go? Draw me. So she bears witness to the fact that she is in a place where she ought not to be because the king has brought her in. But she also testifies to the fact that she has tasted of something stronger. So no matter how hard the king tries to persuade her heart, she will not budge. But she also bears witness to the fact that in doing that which she desires to do on the inside, she is incapacitated. Are we together? My friend, true ministry begins from the revelation of your incapacities. Yes. That you start to see how undone you are, so that a true cry for help is born. Amen. Now, she was in the palace and she could have as well just escaped. Amen. She could have just maybe smuggled her way out in the night, but she knew, and giving to very picture to how we struggle with influences in the flesh. Things that keep us bound to a system when we ought to be engaging in things that pertain to us as giving in Zion. This is how you gain freedom from it. She says, you will have to discover that if it is leaving a stronghold of a king, you go by being drawn. So she says, draw me. Hallelujah. Draw me. Then she says, we will run after thee. First thing I need you to capture here. She's bearing testimony to the fact that she's not the only one there. Amen. She's not the only one who is under that unfortunate situation. But she seems to be the only one who has taken responsibility for her freedom. She seems to be the only one who knows that this is not where I should be. And there's an agency that I must engage to see that I'm brought out of this place into where I ought to be. She declares and says, draw me. Then she says, I know my place. And I understand the powers of my ordination. It is not given for you to begin a thing with one man and it ends with him. Anything you do with one man, there is a harvest of a generation attached to it. And so the assurance is this. If you will draw me, it will be a we that will run after you. If you will draw me, we will be many that will run after you. If I can touch that help that will sponsor my running, it will not be me running after you. We will be many who will leave the conclave of captivity and run after you. She says, draw me. We run after you. If you study our fathers closely, one of the things you will see is that they all labor to reveal their helplessness. Alas, it's an undoing in our generation that we rise up thinking we know how. We rise up thinking we are well equipped for the mission. We, just like the man of God was saying, we run into our fields of assignment so heady that we think we know just how to conquer and take that city for God and plant the flag of Jesus. My friends, your biggest problems are everything you can do by yourself. Yes, your biggest problems are everything you can do without the help of God. And the day when an authentic work will begin is that day when you discover you can't do this thing by yourself. He says, draw me. Even though I can run, I can get up and walk, I know it is not my walking that will do this thing. Draw me. I know you've been praying. You've been doing 10 hours every week. God bless you. Keep doing it. But there's a day when God will apprehend you. There's a day. There's a day. There's a day when He will lay His hand on you and hold you. From that day onward, you will begin to see that you were supposed to do your business of priesthood by a different energy. He says, draw me. This is the only time when God begins to entrust a man with influence. When that man has found he can do nothing of himself, and he gives himself to the drawing of God. Because you see, God is not exactly confident in your pursuit. His assurance is in His drawing. Until you have entered that day where it is said of you on high that this one is now being drawn, you cannot be trusted with high powers in the kingdom. But she knows that on that day when I begin to apprehend the drawing of God, God will put something on me that commands a generation after me. Because God knows this one is no longer running by his strength. Oh, for the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. I thank God for what you have found as your strength. But God will have to kill that thing for his powers. For his powers to be given room. You know, the Bible says Jacob was a fast man. He had smuggled his way into the inheritance of his brother and given all that was supposed to be the lot and portion of his brother, even the spiritual endowments. But on the day when he collided with God, the fast man left that place of encounter limping. Because you cannot be fast running by your strength. Do you understand? Yes. Yes. Until you discover your incapacities, you cannot enter into the capacities that God wants to release into you. Until you discover how insufficient you are in yourself, you have not arrived at the quorum of meekness required for God to begin to utter certain things. My friends, God is not interested in your strength. As much as he's not interested in your weaknesses, as much as your weaknesses can do nothing for him in his kingdom, as much as your weaknesses are a disadvantage to you when you want to prosecute the righteous counsel of God, your strength also is a problem for God. So I know that you have such when you sing, oh my God, it's as if the angels are chanting through your vocals, my friend, that thing is your first problem. Yes, that thing is your. You will never know the powers that are to be given to a means chair. If you still come with you. Maybe like the man of God said, you labored so hard at a vocal training center. You had about 5 vocal coaches and they've done excellently well, sir. You're wasting your time. You will never know what David meant when he said, "Let the sun, moon, and stars praise him." Because David said, My own sound, it can bring the sun, moon, and stars under its influence to command praise to God. You will never know. So somebody who comes, who may not necessarily know how to sing on key, may just lift the microphone, and after battling in his heart that you will think he doesn't know how to sing, then he now says, "God, let me just, it's unto you. Then he lets loose. Ah! And then God latches upon it as though God has been waiting for a highway to ride on things. You know why? That man does not have any strength. So God has now become his strength. No, I thought, maybe you think that because you are a mighty orator, you can speak so well. Maybe in school you used to champion all the debates. So you think that when you hit upon the scriptures, you will chant like that. I'm sorry. You will rise up and know that as you hold that microphone, you can't speak English again. Because it will not be by your strength. She says, "Draw me. Ah, draw me. If you draw me, we will come." Oh, have you not heard? The Bible says that God sent his word into Jacob. The effect was that it lighted upon Israel. Jacob received the word, lightedness came upon Israel. Jacob received the word, Israel was lightened. David said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." The next verse says, he says, "They looked upon him and their faces were lightened." Maybe you don't see that movement. He begins by saying, "I sought the Lord." The next verse says, "They looked upon him." When did they find him? In your finding him is the finding of a generation. But my friend, how God will open up himself to begin to reveal these things to you is when you discover that you don't even know how to seek him out. Do you know how to seek God? Can you organize a seminar like this now for 2 weeks and teach a man how to find God? In all of your labors and all of the things you will do, you will be channeling him to the mercy of God. You'll be trying to find his path. See. The Bible says, "I have found my servant David. With my holy oil have I anointed him." Let me say it again. "I have found my servant David." I know you paid the price, but you see, when God shows up, it was God that found you. Yes, I know you did stuff. I know that you paid heavy prices and wonderful. There are applause for you in Zion. But when God shows up and begins to do his things with you, you'll be too ashamed to say that these things are happening because you paid any price. You'll be too ashamed to say, the days when we were praying, why would things not be like this? No, sir. A man who truly apprehends God, he will know that this thing finds expression only by the mercy of God. Oh, my God. He says, "Draw me and we will run after thee." I know that you are, my goodness. There's a sister that you are struggling with entering into what God wants you to do because you are overwhelmed by the animosity, by how huge the task seems. Perhaps it's because you are still looking at yourself and the capacities that you have. Perhaps you are still looking at the muscle that you have been able to build and how inconsistent you are. My friend, just in case you were consistent, that your consistency would have to be broken off for God to become the consistency that you have. Because maybe you have observed the Chinese monks. Those are the most disciplined people I know on the earth. But just in case such a person comes into the faith and seeks to do business by the discipline he has mastered in his flesh, that would be one of his biggest blockades. So you are thinking that I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not. Sir, your prayer is draw me. That's your cry. Because if God draws you, you will find an energy. You will find that before God will accept any offering, any labor, God has to look upon those labors and see that he was the one that did it. If it was a man's image crafted on those labors, it's not good enough to be given to God. Your cry is, draw me. Savina komina kaitama. Aletronde yana masutema. So on that day, the mighty king saw that there was one who had tasted of a different wine. The reason I brought this discourse, my friends, is because Kaduna is supposed to be like a nursery. A nursery that trains ministers and send them forth. But there's a king serving wine. There is a system of Babylon that is serving wine. We will judge that operation tonight. We will judge it. There's a system that is serving wine to make people come under another government. But friends, we want to cry tonight and say, Lord, draw me. Asyande kopenakai. Mambraski balabonderia tamai. Asyanda brekunda salabai. Asyandre bende kula sama. Salebronde kia salabenahole. Arabina dus de brenge digababa. Ere de bianda skataba. Ere de anda skabibome. Ibaranose. Hebrews 12 says, therefore see that we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Esyandaba, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. The only time when a man is assured of finishing is when he has mastered how to look unto Jesus. When he has mastered how to turn his gaze from his strength. When he has mastered, I capolombre scapai. Halebrende scabina candelai. You want to pray tonight and say, Lord, draw me. I refuse to be drunk with the wine of a different civilization. If I must rise as an able minister, if I must rise as an accurate representation of the kingdom of God, I must drink of a different wine. Asabren de kope te koliata. Arian da stapai. Abalena masobra kita. Aya kamos ebren de kila babai. Ebren de skape benokomi. You want to pray and say, I refuse to take of that cup that is being served by the hand of Babylon. I refuse to partake of that wine that made kings sit back at home in the day of battle. Esembre kata babona. Ale brende kaba. Kabena bosta brende kaila. Cabron da pesca. Rebianda salabra. Calemos. Aliando procomiata. Negre de pasepena. Ela prende escalada dona cai. Arianda salopa. E prende escalada dona. Draw me, O God. And
we will run after you. Ah, there's a generation attached to my life. There's a generation attached to my life. There's a generation attached. But my running must be energized. My running must be energized. My running must be energized. Oh God. Cabeza. La branda de bobre cababola. Zabrasca de bobobrasca de la dababala. La boromenata. It is time to forgive. Así la babcapa. At your basis of confidence. Celebrando Kaila protecting a
Sure.